We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Well, sometime we got to work, and we've decided it's the end of June. We haven't done a Buffs Insider for nearly a month, since late May. So here we are, back again during the offseason, getting ready for the fall. It's not that far away. In fact, we're inside about a month or so until the football team reports for camp. Neil Welk, CUBuffs.com, my voice of the Buffs, Mark Johnson. And, of course, being that it's blazing hot as we flip the calendar to July, so, of course, we're going to talk about winter sports and basketball. But we got to start out with George King. You and I sat here a month ago, Neil, talking about the upcoming NBA draft. George had had some nice performances at the Final Four All-Star game, went to Portsmouth, did a nice job, had some nice workouts, but he probably wasn't going to get drafted. And yet here we're sitting here, and he got drafted late in the second round, and he's a Phoenix Sun.
Yeah, and that's just a great tribute to George King, number one, his work ethic in the finishing up his senior season and then having some great workouts, like you said. It's also a tribute to Kim English, assistant coach, who worked with George, got him ready for all those individual workouts with those teams. And then George, showed that he was, worth taking a chance on, and I think he's got a chance to stick with the Phoenix Suns.
Do you think, and by the way, that's five players now in the last 8 years under Tad Boyle have been drafted in the NBA. Do you think, on top of the fact George is an outstanding physical specimen, as we know him, he's got all the athleticism you can ask for in the NBA, but there's a pretty good track record going on with Tad Boyle, Colorado players right now. And there's some, you think of Alec Burks and Andre Robertson and Derek White, Spencer Dinwiddie has come around. There's a pretty good track record, and so, maybe from a program standpoint, NBA teams may see, George is very athletic, comes from a very good program. We got a good history of Colorado players being nice players in the NBA. Why not take a flyer on him?
Well, I think if those four guys you named, Dinwiddie and Burks and Derek White, those guys, they all have good work ethic. They all go to the NBA and they've worked extremely hard. They don't have a bad reputation for being a guy that isn't a good team player. And I think that's the reputation that Tad is building here, is the kids that come out of Colorado are going to have that work ethic. They're going to be willing to hit the gym. They're going to be willing to do all the little stuff that'll make them a little bit better. And I think that's what followed George is that same kind of thing. And I think that's, if there's anything that Tad Boyle is building here, is that kind of reputation.
Think about it for a second. I just said it a moment ago. That's five players drafted in the last 8 years. You've heard me say it before. You and I both said it. This is probably the golden era of Colorado basketball, what Tad has done. I mean, there's never been another stretch like this from an NCAA tournament or postseason berth perspective or from an NBA draft perspective than what we're seeing right now with the Buffaloes.
No, and you know, I keep telling people that what Tad has done here, you have to have an appreciation of Colorado basketball history to know how good a job Tad Boyle has done here. If you take what Tad has done here and compare it to Kansas, no, nothing special. Duke, nothing special. Kentucky, no. But Colorado, if you compare it to the last 50 years of Colorado basketball, what Tad has done is a special era. And honestly, Mark, we haven't seen the best yet.
Well, and that leads me to what I was just about to say. So guys are working out right now. And when I walk in here today to sit down and tape, Neil is just like a kid on Christmas morning. He's been overwatching some of the players over there. And he looks at me and goes, have you seen Tyler Bay lately? You're really, just like I am, you're really excited about the potential we see for this 18-19 Tad Boyle team.
I tell you what, I've been to a couple of their summer practices, and they are fun to watch. That is an athletic team. All those guys that played well last year, McKinley Wright, Tyler Bay, Deshaun Swartz, are bigger and better this year. They've just made huge jumps. Tad Boyle said that Tyler Bay, of all the players he has coached, might be in the top five of guys who have made a big jump between their freshman and sophomore years. Now think about that. Tyler Bay was a good player last year. If he makes a big jump, he will be a very good player next year. McKinley Wright's playing really well. So they're fun to watch, and nobody has seen Evan Batty yet, but I promise you they're going to like what they see from Evan Batty when he hits the floor.
And don't you think, with all the talent, you touched on a number of the different names there, you've got some exciting players who have come in on this team, a couple of freshmen, one junior college player who's going to be a great shooter. But the guy that makes it all go is the guy that everyone rallies around. That's McKinley Wright.
Oh, he's just watching him, quote, run practice, earlier this week, you know, when they were having one of their workouts. And he's just directing traffic. He's doing everything. He's the first guy out on the floor. He's the last guy to leave. He's had a terrific, terrific season, you know, in the weight room. He deadlifted 500 pounds. That's a 185-pound point guard who bent over and picked up 500 pounds. The kid is just as powerful as can be. He's added some strength. All those things, I think, make this team something that's going to be fun to watch. And, yeah, McKinley's going to be the motor that makes it run.
I was on a show last week as a guest. We were talking Pac-12 football and basketball. And the guy kind of caught me a little off guard with a question, but I'm going to pose it to you. He said, is McKinley Wright one of the handful of favorites to be the player of the year in the Pac-12 next year? I've had some time to think about it. There was a lot of losses due to graduation, guys going to the NBA. It's an interesting question, and I'm hard-pressed after a week or so thinking about it, thinking he's maybe not in the conversation of the top five heading into the season.
Oh, yeah. And you and I were talking about that earlier. We started thinking about all the guys that are coming back, all the guys that were gone, all the guys that the league lost. And certainly McKinley is going to be in that conversation this year, just judging from last year's all Pac-12 teams and looking at all the guys that are coming back. I think McKinley's in that conversation. I mean, he was an all-freshman guy. He was an honorable mention all-conference guy and is going to be, you know, make that. If he makes that freshman to sophomore jump, which I think he will, certainly he'll be in that conversation.
Let's transition a little bit. Also this week, the guys reporting for camp for the throwback team. And that's become the last, 3 years, the University of Colorado has been very good in that throwback tournament. Kind of created a little bit of buzz around this program.
It's a lot of fun because it's very important to Tad Boyle because he is trying to build a culture of the history of Colorado basketball, keep guys involved, and he likes having the quote old-timers around because they're a good influence on the new players because they can tell them, you know, Marcus Hall can come in here and tell them this is what it's like to play in Europe for 10 years. You know, Dominique Coleman can tell them that, you know, those kind of things. Richard Roby, a lot of the guys from the past can come in here and say, this is how you can make some money playing the game, you know, if you don't make it in the NBA. And then some of the NBA guys come back and, you know, we'll throw in their two bits. Chris Copeland came back last year, you know, told the guys what it was like to play in Europe and play in the NBA. So it's a lot of fun. They're playing for $2 million. They came really close a couple of years ago, but it's good for the program. The kids enjoy it. The young players, the current players get to meet these guys. They play a little pickup. It's always competitive, so it's a good time.
That's why Tad likes having Neil around. He likes the old-timers hanging around his team. Likes the experience, a veteran kind of guys. Hey, let's make the transition to football. Well, as I mentioned off the top here, we're inside a month now until the guys report for training camp. And you can kind of feel, you've been around like I have. They had a couple of great recruiting weekends here in the last month. A lot of high-level players have come through here. There's a buzz around the team. You've been down the weight room when guys have been working out. What's kind of the pulse you're getting when you're around this group right now?
You know, I think if there's anything that strikes me about this team thus far is this is a really together team. It's something that didn't quite click last year for whatever reason. I think this team is much more close-knit, and I think it's a bunch of guys. It reminds me a little bit more of that 2016 team that had been kicked around for 3 or 4 years, and they were tired of losing. I think this team has a little bit of that feeling. I think they're very disappointed in last year. And just from watching them work in the weight room, watching some of the player-led practices and things, I think this team's a little bit more hungry and maybe a little bit more together than last year, just as far as team unity. And I think that's something that could help them heading into fall camp.
Well, don't you think, too, because of how down things have been, 2016 kind of came out of nowhere to be a top 10 team in the country, playing for the Pac-12 championship. There was a sense the lack of experience allowed that team to move forward thinking, well, we're back, obviously. The Buffaloes are a very good team and good program once again. And maybe that was a learning experience, like, oh, wait a second, we've got to continue to prepare and practice and, work in the weight room at a very high level to maintain, because you go from surprising people to being the hunted then the following year in 2017.
Now, I think that's exactly right. I think that last year's team kind of expected for 2016 to just continue. I mean, they had worked hard to get there, and I think a lot of those guys thought that, well, this is how it's going to be from now on. We've gotten over the hump. Now we keep it going. And I think this team is reaching back and remembering what it took to get there. And I think this team has the potential to be a team that might surprise some folks.
Who is somebody that, just sitting here today, as we flip the calendar from June to July, that you think, that's a guy I'm looking forward to watching and seeing how he contributes in 2018 on the football field?
Defensively, I want to see Evan Worthington again, because I think he's going to be back at safety, and I think he's poised for a terrific year. That's a guy that NFL scouts were watching last year. I think he could have a very good year. The other one's Davion Taylor, who plays that buff back, and you call it a linebacker, call it a safety, whatever you want to call it, but just an incredibly gifted athlete who just got better every day in the spring. Really curious to see how he reacts and how he plays in the Pac-12. I think he could be a playmaker. And I'll throw in one more guy on defense. I want to see what Terrence Lang does. Another very gifted athlete who had flashes in the spring, was not consistent, but a guy that could be a difference maker. You know, and offense, and this is not going to be a surprise to anybody, I want to see Steven Montez this year. He's a junior now. He's no longer a kid. He's played for 2 years, had a full year of a starter. I want to see how Steven Montez reacts as a junior, upperclassman, kind of expected to be a team leader now, and I want to see what Steven has. I have a good feeling about Steven. I like Steven a lot. Kid's got a cannon. So I want to see what Steven does, and I think he has the potential to have a very good year.
You know, and I'll say this, you may have seen it, that Steven Montez was one of the camp counselors at the Manning Passing Camp here with Peyton and Eli put on every year, and one of the reports coming out of there from somebody on social media was that nobody had a bigger arm than Steven Montez, which probably doesn't surprise anybody around here, but should give him a little bit of confidence. By the way, last week I'm at an event. Right, a little barbecue, number of people there. And, of course, I got introduced, and, hey, it's the voice of the Buffs kind of thing. Turns out there were three people who were huge Nebraska fans there. The trash talking was off the charts. They are convinced, our friends to the east here, that Tom Osborne has been reincarnated and that program is ready to be what it was through the 1980s. I'm just thinking, and I know Mike McIntyre is focused on August 31st in Colorado State Rams. They don't want to talk about Nebraska. That's the way football coaches are. But Buffs fans, you better get ready, because that's going to be a rabid environment at Memorial Stadium that second week, because those Husker fans, they're drinking the Kool-Aid right now.
Oh, they're not drinking it. They're injecting it. They've got syringes full of that stuff, and they're just mainlining that stuff out in Lincoln. I mean, the Scott Frost bandwagon, there's no room left, and they're piling it on, and there are people trying to climb on. And that's going to be a program that's going to be fun to see, because, you know, honestly, Nebraska has slipped dramatically over the last few years. This is by no means the Nebraska that we remember. just like it's not the Colorado that was, you know, in the in 2000, 2001, 2003 with Gary Barnett when they were playing for the Big 12 North every year. So it's two different programs, both of them trying to come back, both of them trying to get a footing. And I tell you what, going into Lincoln this year, I don't think the kids on this team have seen, and on Colorado's team have seen, that kind of environment. I had a couple of them tell me, oh, we went to Michigan, we've been to the Big House, and they haven't seen 100,000 people dressed in red just screaming for their blood.
Not that Buff Nation, you needed any pumping up for that game, but I just thought I'd pass it along because I endured three Nebraska fans hammering me for about 2 hours at a barbecue. Hey, let's shift gears. A couple of other things going on. It's been a nice stretch here recently. We talked a lot about it throughout the spring, track and field, but there's been some Buffs making some noise here as of late. Some former Buffs making some noise as well.
Yeah, it was really nice. They had a nice strong finish at the NCAAs. Aaron Clark and Val Konstein both earned All-American honors. Aaron in the 5,000, Val Konstein in the steeplechase. Then they had at the USA Championships, former Buff Emma Coburn won the steeplechase title, and Janie Simpson was second in the 1500. And then, you know, you have to be a track nerd to appreciate this, but I'm a secret track nerd. Danny Jones, who's just a sophomore at the University of Colorado, was the highest finishing collegian at the USATF Championships in the 1500. She finished fifth, had a great time, and she has a chance, Danny Jones has a chance to be the next Emma Coburn, Jenny Simpson Olympian type of thing. They are, she has a chance to go to Tokyo in 2020, so that's a name for Buff fans to remember.
And there's been a change at the head coaching position here at the University of Colorado, the women's tennis team. Nicole Keneally, after a long time here, having a nice long career, retires, and the Buffs go to Kansas State, old Pac-12 nemesis K-State, and find themselves a head women's tennis coach.
Yeah, Daniel Steinberg, who came with just some great credentials, did a good job in Manhattan, and I don't know much about women's tennis in Manhattan, Kansas. I'm guessing it's not the easiest place in the world to coach women's tennis, but she had a good program there, a successful program, taking on a big challenge here. Colorado has not been a successful program by any stretch in women's tennis over the last, you know, 10, 12 years. And so she's taken on a big challenge, but I think they really like what they got in her, what they've got there with Danielle. And so I think it's a good hire, and it'll be fun to see what she does.
I love having Neil be a longtime Buff and being around the Big 12. And we've heard subtle shots at Lincoln, Nebraska, and Manhattan, Kansas, all in one podcast.
You want me to keep going? Can I hit up Columbia, Missouri? I was laughing at the Bus for Life gathering over the weekend. They had three former Missouri grads, Gary Barnett, Bill McCartney, and Kim English were all there playing, and they all got together and said, here, you know, all these Missouri grads that are now, you know, connected with the University of Colorado. And I was teasing Kim English. I said, you know, it would take somebody from Missouri to get a college degree for them to figure out that Boulder is better than Columbia. And so, of course, that started it up a little bit, and then he started teasing Tad Boyle about being a KU grad, and I quietly walked away.
Hey, speaking of the Buffs for Life thing, and it was a great weekend for everybody involved. But Gary Barnett, who's kind of taken over and helped kind of lead that thing here recently, along with a number of others, and they started focusing on mental health, because we've lost a couple of Buffs, obviously, most notably, of course, Rashan Salaam last year to suicide. And so a lot of fun was had, but some good work and some serious work was being done by that organization.
That's a really important thing, and Gary has taken that on, and Gary takes it very personally. It's really, really important to Gary Barnett. He got Brian Cabral involved, who we all remember, great linebackers coach, great player here. Brian's involved, Sean Tufts, a former linebacker, and they've made mental health a big emphasis of Buffs for Life, and they've established a crisis hotline. They're establishing training with a lot of different former players to help identify guys that are having some trouble, and so you don't have those kind of problems again. Gary had a statistic that was just it was stunning to me. Since 2004, nine former Colorado football players have taken their own life, and Gary said one's too many, and he said this is something that he is very involved in and really wants to get going and wants to help with. And so a huge shout out to Gary Barnett and Brian and Sean and the whole Buffs for Life.
Well, good stuff there, and obviously I've mentioned it before. I lost my father to suicide, so it's a very it is an event that happens far too frequently, and has too great a ripple effect and hurts far too many people when it happens. So great stuff by the fellow from Buffer Life. As we wrap up our podcast for the Insider for the month of June, we'll be back, of course, right before camp gets underway. August 1st, the Buffaloes will be reporting. We're inside 1 month away from Colorado football getting it away. For Neil Welk, CUBuffs.com. I'm Voice of the Buffs, Mark Johnson. Thanks for joining us on the Buffs Insider for the month of June.